Well, Jesus, you are the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. Your word, a lamp to our feet, is the only thing that's going to last. And so now I pray that your word would go forth and that you would increase and I would decrease. Give us ears to hear, hearts that are tender, and the courage to say yes. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be here. It really is. And this is an exciting time to think about what's going on in the world as I look at you and think about what God is going to do uniquely through each of you in the years ahead. Because we look at the Great Commission, it really is in each of the Gospels, in the 40 days after Jesus appeared, after the resurrection. There are kind of four corners of the intersection and four different perspectives of the Great Commission here. And so our hearts are going to resonate with one of them. But we're all called to be a part of this commission, and we'll talk about that today. But it is a joy to be here. I want you to get to know me a little bit. So I'm going to break the membrane of vulnerability right here and let you know this is happening in my life. So a bunch of us on Facebook are getting together, planning our 35th high school reunion from Morristown High School of Morristown, New Jersey, home of the Fighting Quakers. True story. And this is me, and I've got to wear that picture to every reunion, and that's who I am. That's all I got. And Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I know what you're thinking. If you put a sweet suit on that, it looks vaguely familiar. I know, I've been there. I live with it. My wife, when we saw that, thought it was identity theft. When we saw Napoleon Dynamite, she screamed out loud. But there you go. That's all I got. Well, it is really exciting to be here today because now as I wake up in the morning, I'm a part of First Southern National Bank. And in the 35 years since college, a quick journey of my life, that God invaded my heart and let me know who Jesus was when I was 20, when I was in college. And it overwhelmed me and continues to. And I was deceived into my first ministry opportunity. A friend of mine needed a guitar player for 1 hour a week. It happened to be a ministry called Young Life. I fell in love with that idea of sharing Christ with kids. And for the next 25 years, 21 on staff, that was a part of my world and our world. Had the opportunity to get a Master's of Divinity through Fuller Seminary and then a doctorate in emerging missional leadership across the street. And that was looking at your generation, who I am so bullish on. So 7 years ago, we had an opportunity to go to be a part of the headquarters of Young Life, and it didn't feel right. And I had buddies in Kentucky that said, well, why don't you come and do mission and ministry at the bank? We don't get that kind of opportunity every day, kind of a strange thought. But for the last 7 years, I'm telling you, I have had the ride of my life seeing God express himself through Jesus Christ in the hearts of men and women all over the world, locally and globally, in all kinds of ways. And that's what makes me so hopeful for you. So as Greg said, I'm married to Mary. I'm married way above myself. It's evidence of God. You saw my high school picture. When you see her, there is a God, men and ladies. And we have two children, a 20 and 23-year-old, who are emerging leaders too. And our prayers is that God would capture their hearts in what they could do uniquely and joining the Great Commission. Because despite the headlines, God is not wringing his hands in heaven over anything. I see every day great folks doing great things in great ways for the sake of Jesus. They're joining Jesus in the great commission in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. I've had the privilege this year of being in Ethiopia and India, and next week we'll be in the Dominican Republic. And those places that I get to go, I get to see people loving Christ in unique ways and impacting the kingdom of God as they are wired to do. But I think the most exciting thing for me today is to just reiterate what you already know. You are invited by God above to be a part of the great commission. What an incredible thing that God has done in allowing us to be a part of that. And I'll tell you, we need you desperately. So here's my confession. I'm a baby boomer, and I am sorry. My generation has not done a very good job of things. And it's not going to be easy for you. And every time I read John 10:10, I wanted to read, I have come that you might have life and have it more comfortably. But darned if it doesn't say abundantly every time I read it. So get ready for the ride of your life if you join the Great Commission. Just a few things I want to highlight here. That first number, it's actually 17 trillion. What's that? As of about an hour ago, it's the national debt in America. Congratulations, you'll be paying that off. I'm sorry. 57 million, what's that number? It's the number of lives that we have legally allowed to be murdered through abortion in my lifetime. And I'm sorry. That's on us. 4.8 billion. What's that? It's the number of people that are going to bed tonight without the hope and life of Jesus Christ. Still, in our world of 7 billion people. Over 4,000. What's that? It's the number of languages yet to be translated for the Great Commission to be fulfilled, that every tribe, tongue, and nation would hear about the hope and the life that's in Jesus. That's on us. But that is for you. That is the Great Commission. So I stand here in some ways kind of thinking, at best, I'm like David, a broken man, brokenhearted, after God's heart, but really, it's Solomons that are going to rebuild the temple. You are the Solomons, and you get to rebuild the temple. Now, Solomon obviously struggled with temptations of wine and women and song and power. But Solomon began to usher in the kingdom in a brand new way, and I believe with my whole heart that God is calling you and your generation to usher the kingdom in a brand new way. I'm not just excited about it, but I see it. I'm hopeful for it. Because you're called the millennials. You're probably tired of being called things, right? I'm a boomer. And I'm sorry. But you're a millennial mosaic. And there's so many people that have written so many things about your generation. And there's a subset in your generation that are called the correctors. I knew it was coming when my daughter was 11 years old and in the car, and I was being typical of who I am. And Bonnie started crying. And I said, Bonnie, why are you crying? And she looked at me and said, Daddy, somebody in the family has to be serious. Well, you're the correctors. And I believe for those that will follow the call to the Great Commission, the world will never be the same for Jesus. So this has been a long invitation that God has given us. We kind of need to look at the big picture here first, though. Because there's a lot of people like me and my age that we don't get the big picture. And so our lives are just like, have you ever tried to do a puzzle without the puzzle box? Man, just flipping pieces over, you make the edges, you you kind of get the colors together, but you don't get it. And there's a lot of people in my generation that that's how they're living their lives. They don't see the big picture. So let's just take 5 minutes to go through the entire Bible. We can do it, okay? And see what the big picture is. Because in the beginning, it was a plan for a pair to coexist with God, Father, Son, and Spirit. The co-creation in the completeness of Father, Son, and Spirit, man and woman, to be in relationship with God and each other. And God created mankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Be in cooperation. Coexist with Father, Son, and Spirit. Be in communion with God. And yet, creation wanted to be independent and walked away and broke that relationship, that invitation into communion. And we see an incredible question that God asked Adam. Where are you? I've found that needs to be the question I need to ask myself every night before I go to bed and every morning when I wake up. It's a great question. So God created a temporary repair, provided it. It foreshadowed the ultimate solution. We know that God created garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and He clothed them. It was life for life. Sin was covered temporarily. The blood economy of God was introduced, and they avoided absolute destruction. And as the story unfolds, God's story that He wanted a people, He wanted to call them to cooperate with Him. But pride came in the way again and again and again with God's people. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted their own king. They wanted to be somewhere else. And so they wandered, and He found them. They turned their backs on God, and yet He pursued them. And atonement, this blood economy, continued. God said, "I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." And yet we know that what happens in the end of the Old Testament, as God continues to pursue a people, and they continue to fail at the opportunity to follow God and be in communion with Him, it's ended in a brokenness, in an identity crisis, and in silence. But then, out of the silence, out of the desert, a cry, and out of the womb, a perfect and permanent provision for healing. Eyewitnesses say that the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins, ultimate sacrifice, blood for everyone, once for all, final atonement. There's no other way." Christ died once for all, the just for the unjust, that He would bring us to God. And then in the life of Christ, He demonstrated the perfect distribution plan. I love to read the Gospels and how Jesus gave Himself away, this incredible training plan. 3 years, with the intent that through 3 years of training and you get four, that the world would never be the same. 4 years, if you focus on Jesus with the same promise that He gives us, you will be a part of the world never being the same. Jesus said that we will do greater things. And so it's the master plan. And if you've, here's one extracurricular book. It's not homework, but if you want a copy, get a hold of me. I'll give you a copy. It's a must read. And it's a treasure that lives right here in Wilmore, Robert Coleman. And he looks at the three years of Jesus and what he did with the disciples and how his plan is still at work today. And just listen to this. He, Jesus, was the Savior of the world. God wanted all to be saved and to come to knowledge of truth. To that end, Jesus gave himself to provide a salvation from all sin to all men, in that he died for one, he died for all. But contrary to superficial thinking, there was never a distinction in Jesus' mind between home and foreign missions. To Jesus, it was all world evangelism. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world were called to be a part of that. And so here is the invitation. And this is Colossians 1. Colossians is an incredible letter that Paul writes. And he starts out celebrating the men and women that have followed the call to share Christ. And listen what he says. To them, the Lord's people, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. And this is the mystery. Here it is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. That's all I got. That's the great commission. That it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. If we believe that Jesus died on the cross, if we are following with him, then we bring Jesus, the hope of glory, wherever we go. What a great distribution plan, isn't it? And so let's look at this great commission. The great commission from four different corners of the street, as four different gospel writers write what Jesus says. So as I go with Christ in me, the hope of glory, I'm to make disciples of all nations. It's not about me, it's about Christ in me. Mark says, as I go with Christ in me, the hope of glory, I am to preach the good news to all the world. It's not about me, it's about Christ in me, the hope of glory. Luke says, as I go with Christ in me, the hope of glory, I am to be his witness. And John says, as I go with Christ in me, the hope of glory, I'm to receive the Holy Spirit and the peace of that. And then I'm sent just like God sent Jesus. That's it. Christ in me, the hope of glory. But I have a reality. I don't know if you do. I'm a cracked pot. Not a crack pot, but a cracked pot. And Paul addresses this. So if I house Jesus within me, I know me. I am not perfect on the outside or in behavior or in thought life. I am broken. I am cracked. I'm a wounded healer at best. Ask my wife. She can tell you many things. But Paul talks about this. And he says, we have this treasure, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, in a jar of clay, to show the all-surpassing power. It's not from us, but it's from God. So let me give you permission. Be on a journey for the holiness of Jesus to make us more like him every day. But realize, at best, this side of heaven right now, we're cracked pots. And if I'm a cracked pot, and I have Jesus Christ, the hope of glory within me, what am I going to do? I'm going to hopefully leak Jesus wherever I go. Mary and I went through a really hard time in life and health and a move and all kinds of stuff. And I was about 32 years old. And I came apart. Literally came apart. It was all crumbling. And I had a friend say something to me that just changed my world. She said, Dan, I like you a whole lot more broken than when you were cocky. And I think Jesus is going to use you a whole lot more broken than cocky. See, at best, we're just clay pots. But the incredible thing is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so my ha-ha here is it's not about me. John the Baptist says, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. But it's Jesus that would increase in us. That's the great commission. Anywhere we go. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So be connected with Jesus. So here we go. Homework assignment. We'll close it up now. If you want to be a part of the Great Commission, if you want to continue on in this journey, I want to continue on in this journey. Here's three things that I'm going to recommend. Continue to figure out who you are in Christ and express that uniquely wherever you are. Number two, and this might seem a little crazy, but figure out God's economy and what God has to say about money. If your generation does, there will be a kingdom renaissance. I guarantee you. If you guys get the money thing right, as God says it, your generation will change the world for Christ in a way like no other generation. And then thirdly, commit to surrender daily starting today. We're going to pack some of this later tonight here. And then tomorrow we'll have a panel of about seven folks that are expressing Christ in them, the hope of glory, in different arenas, in medicine, in a restaurant, in sales, in finance, to some really interesting perspectives, a family court judge. It's going to be really fun. So let me just reiterate these three and then we'll close it up here. First of all, and we'll unpack these again tonight. Figure out who you are. As I am still at 52 years old trying to figure out who I uniquely am in Christ. Who am I in Christ and who am I uniquely in Christ? Because when I figure that out, things will change. This is attributed often to John Eldridge, but it's actually an African-American pastor named Howard Thurman. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Come alive. I encourage you, take advantage of Dr. Baldwin's team at the Career and Calling Center. It's incredible. Spend a lot of time there. Figure out who you are. Figure out what body part you are. Figure out what your gifts are. And express that. You may not be a banker. I'm really not a banker. I'm just a missionary in banker's clothing. But on Saturday, I'm putting on my baseball hat. And I'm going to the Dominican Republic with about 400 guys that are going to teach baseball to about 5,000 Dominican kids. And bring with us Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that's a unique way that we can express Jesus. So figure out who you are. Secondly, continue to find out what God has to say about money. That's so important. My friend Howard Dayton, the Howard Dayton School of Business is named after him, says giving is not God's way of raising money. It is God's way of raising people into the likeness of his son. The boomers have not done well with money, but your generation can change things. I invite you to join me this spring in a seminar class called Give, Save, and Spend, Finances God's Way. We're adding it on. It's 2 credits. It's life-changing. And if your generation gets it right, all things will change in the kingdom of God. If you want to be a part of that, there's sign-ups at both sides here. I invite you. I challenge you. Join me on that journey. And then finally, figure out who I am in Christ and be that. Figure out what God has to say about money. And do that. And then daily, surrender my life to God. That he would use me uniquely in the great co-mission. And that's where we're going to start today. This is what my friend Lonnie Riley says. Every morning I ask the Lord to show me the burning bushes for the day. And when he does, I just pour gasoline on them. Surrender. Lord, this is all I have. You've made me this way. Would you take me and use me? Harry Truman talked about the bomb on Hiroshima and the negotiations that went on with Japan for a long time before the bomb was actually dropped, because it kept coming down to this word, unconditional surrender. And that is what God is calling me to every day. That is what God is calling us to every day if we want to be a part of the great co-mission. So I'm going to head down here to the altar, and as best as I know how, just surrender my life. And as Greg prays for us, if you want to be a part of God's great commission, his great co-mission, to uniquely express what God has put on your heart and how God has wired you for the sake of all those that are going to bed tonight without the hope of Jesus, might you join me at the altar in surrendering? Come forward if you would.